The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast episode 202. Dylan is jumping on with me. Thank God, too, because I'm telling you what, when you talk for 45 minutes straight by yourself, it's tough.
It's impressive, fun. In my opinion. When I saw that you had to do it by yourself and I saw the runtime of 51 minutes, I was like, good for John. That's actually just impressive that he could keep going for that long. I would have given up after 20 and be like, all right, I'm good. You guys are done.
It's either good for me or it was like, dude, he's got a lot on his mind. Like, what the fuck's going on over there? It does feel good when you're done with it, because I do feel like I got all my thoughts out. Pretty lonely though, man. Missed all the guys for the pod. But you're jumping on. We obviously are going to go through the Premier League week. I think this is a really good example of some weeks. There's just so much to talk about and there's so many interesting things. And other weeks, you kind of just have to get through it and just be like, all right, this week happened and we'll move on. Luckily for us, though, the Super Bowl was also yesterday. And we're going to do the dudes of the week. Didn't have one last week, kind of. I mean, I threw some out there, but having someone to bounce ideas off of for dudes of the week is always good, too. So, Dylan, let's start off here, man. What were your thoughts? Chiefs win. Kind of a boring game. Then it wasn't a boring game. I don't know. Super Bowl.
I got screwed on my boxes by the Chiefs in two different ways. This is more of, I think with 5 minutes left, anything could have happened. But when they kicked the field goal to tie it at 16, they could have just scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
I had the numbers there, and I just assumed that they could have stopped with the way their defense was playing, could have stopped the Niners.
Big winner was 0-3, doubled up, right? It was 3-0 for one quarter and then 13-10 or something like that, right?
It would have been if they did it, but I don't think it was. I don't think anyone doubled up. But then it's more at the end of the game, by them not kicking the field goal, there would have been a reverse that would have hit my numbers in one that would have won me and my brother and my dad quite a lot of money.
How what was, if you don't mind me asking, what was the payouts for the ones you were in?
The big one was 15,000. Then there was one that, yeah, that's the one where they could have kicked an extra point and we would have had the reverse. Which would have been nice. Then
damn,
the other one was like $2,000, so not as much, but still would have been great. So
what was the square at the $15,000 one? Like, what was it per square? Cost per square?
300.
Damn. Dude, when we were in Canton, we were at a bar, and they were starting to, like, get the Super Bowl squares going. This guy was telling us that there's a bar in Cleveland that has a 1,000 per square one that, like, he's seen, and, like, office groups chip in and get, like, a quarter each of them and whatever. $15,000's like, I don't know if I've ever done a $300 one. I'm a big $25-$50 at max usually.
I've never won it, so to be honest, you're the smarter one here. So,
well, yeah, but with your track record, I figured you might have. Did you have any bets that actually hit?
No, I don't think I won a single one on the Super Bowl. As much as I'm pretty good at soccer, I'm not good at football. Like, it's,
yeah. NFL's
Vegas has it figured out.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the way the game went. Like, I just bet the fun stuff. Like, actually, this is very on brand for me. You want to hear the funnest bet I made and also got screwed twice? Plus 120 for any punt to result in a touchback. Thought it'd be a little fun thing to do.
Yep.
The first one that came close landed on, I think, the 4-yard line, and the Chiefs had just gone a 5-yard penalty right before that for delay game, or else that probably would hit. And then they caught the other one right on the 1-yard line. I was just like, this is just cursed.
I think some of the Barstool guys did the same bet, and the one that was down at the one, Yeah. They, like, had the video of them. They were going nuts, which was kind of hilarious. You're so right, though. Like, Vegas does have it figured out. I think the total game was, what, 47? And it opened at 46.5, and then the line moved to 47.5. So you have, like, the entire swath of people. I guess not really. I guess you probably have a lot of winners because everyone was betting the under, and then they moved it to 47.5, and probably no one bet the over. That's interesting. I saw that stat, too, that it moved, but... they get it pretty much right on. The house usually wins over there. How'd you feel about the game? I kind of felt like the Niners were actually the better team, and then it just kind of got fucked.
I think it was like the most sports game ever of when you dominate a team and you can't put them away, especially someone who's Patrick Mahomes, they're going to beat you. It's,
yeah.
Take this as a compliment. I mean, I know you will, but like Mahomes is basically City in a title race. Especially this year, where it's probably going to end up happening, is they could have stomped you guys out. You could have stomped the Chiefs out, but you didn't. So don't be shocked when they're the ones who win at the end.
It's the inevitability of it all. Like, it kind of felt like every time they had the ball during the game, nothing happened. You're like, all right, it's going to happen at some point. And then finally it did. We had a couple people over for it. And it was one of those typical games where I was sitting with my friend Dave, and we just kept saying that the stereotypical like announcer comment is actually always correct. Like for this game, every time that the Chiefs would get the ball, we'd be like, god damn, it's kind of a big drive right now. Like, this is a pretty important drive. Or like, you know, we really got to get the skill players involved here. And it just felt like nothing happened. The defenses were both really good. The San Francisco defense, I was pretty impressed with. Shout out to Ohio State for producing both of those guys. But kind of a boring game until the last 8 minutes, which then it made it feel like an NBA game, which is how I feel the NBA is. So we'll see.
No lie.
Yeah.
I agree.
Swift watch wasn't that bad either. I felt good. The people we had over were pretty pro-Taylor, which at this point I kind of was on your side. I know we joked like 4 months ago when this all started happening and I played the heel. If you have a problem with the TV showing Taylor Swift, I think it's more of a you thing than a her thing. Yeah. She looked like she had fun. She's a good lady.
I think I saw something of her explaining to like Ice Spice football, and it's like, we've come all this way now where like Taylor Swift is explaining to her friends now what's going on the field.
The best shit I saw was the picture of Ice Spice and Jason Kelce meeting. And, like, I saw all, like, the dad jokes. And he goes, ha, Ice Spice, just like I like my margaritas. Nice to meet you, I'm Jason. Like, that type of shit. I was dying at that. Because just two people I never thought would meet, obviously.
Did you see him wearing the, like, Lucha Libre?
Yeah.
In the clubs afterwards? Like, yeah. He's having more fun celebrating his brother than I probably would. He won. Not when he won, because he was wearing mummer shit, but still.
I thought the same shit. Like, I was kind of like, I saw the video of him just basically, like, doing the Skyman dance with the Lucha Libre stuff on. I was like, damn, like, this meant a lot to him, I guess. Holy shit. Like, I know his brother won, but damn. Yeah, it was fun. I kind of figured the Chiefs are going to win. I feel like that's the only bet that, I didn't place any bets, but all of my friends were betting Chiefs, and I think that was a safe bet at the end of it. Although, like I said, I feel like the Niners played really well, like outplayed them. So, American football's done. Kind of crazy. Season goes quick. Were you tired of it by the end? I had a lot of people at our house being like, I'm just ready for football to be over.
I mean, I guess I'm indifferent. I think I'm way more focused on soccer at this point. Probably because the Giants just don't ever do anything. So technically, it's been football moved into hockey season since like October. So like I've kind of, I guess, been more of a spectator, just watching from the sidelines. Anyway,
that's fair. I do want to ask. I meant to bring this up a pod or so ago. Alex, your wife is notoriously a huge Jose Sa fan. Who's the Rangers equivalent?
She'll probably say she's switched. It's definitely, I mean, you should put this together. It's definitely Mika Zibanejad. Because do you know Mika's a DJ?
No.
He has songs on Spotify. And there's literally, she has, I got her a shirt. It says DJ Mika. And it's him on the turntable with the thing. So Okay, it'd be Mika or Panarin.
Okay, good to know. Always got to involve the wives back into the podcast at some point. So football season's done. Dylan will be paying attention to the Rangers and the Wolves as always. Dudes of the week. Let's run through it. Right, you got one more?
No, I'll make it a dude of the week, so never mind. We're good.
Okay. We'll do the standard three for us. You can lead us off, and I'll go back and forth with you.
I'll make my first dude of the week then, because I think this should be mentioned. MLS starts in 9 days, so dude of the week, MLS, and the Philly Union going to hopefully finally figure it out this year. So here's to dethroning what people are probably already going to say is going to start their own little dynasty and spoiling Miami's already celebrations.
So what do you, quick prediction, we used to have an MLS pod, no more, RIP. What's your prediction for the Union? And then I'd also like to hear what you actually think is going to happen to this Miami, inter-Miami team.
Realistically, because Miami's in it and the team that they have and all that stuff, the Union will be like third or fourth would be my guess by the end of the year. And then we'll see what happens. But I don't know. Miami's either going to gel immediately and just run train on everyone, or there's going to be some hiccups and growing pains, and like they'll still make the playoffs, but it'll be one of those like Lakers LeBron teams right now that just kind of figured it out, and then they probably go on a run and win it in the end.
Yeah, it I mean, when they won that like made up in season tournament that the MLS and Liga MX put together like on the fly, it felt like they gelled quick. Like, it was wild. And he also was surrounded by some guys that he's not used to them being as bad as they are, I feel like. So I was pretty impressed by that. I'm actually, the concern for me, yes, the gelling, obviously. I feel like he's got more LeBron / whoever, Roger Federer / like, who else is an old athlete that can still play. He's got more of that in him. I think the sidekicks, you're going to see them peter off much quicker here. They're old, man. Like, a lot of the people he brought over are pretty old, so it'll be interesting.
Also, I know you probably don't want to hear this to an extent. Well, actually, no, you're a fake
City fan
there. FC Cincinnati is still really, really good. So,
well, they got Robinson too, didn't they?
Yeah. So they actually like legitimately can probably beat Miami, in my opinion.
Look, man, last year the Crew won, 2 years ago NYCFC won. I think it's just your guys' time. But I do feel like it's better to go into the playoffs in the MLS, not like the top seed, and definitely not the Supporter Shield winner. Like, I feel like those teams lose in the first round every time.
Yeah, or, you know, like your whole team gets COVID and they don't really reschedule the game, so you have to play with your youth team and still almost beat the team that won it all. So if anything, there should be an asterisk on that season.
that's a very fair point. Dan, that was a tough game. I did watch that one. Or this past year, wasn't it the Revolution? Like, we're on a tear, and then Bruce Arena just got axed from the job, essentially. And yeah. So don't lead the league, but like be in the top four. I think that's your best bet. Great dude of the week. Let me go first. You got the Rangers. Michael and I got the Cavs. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They're about to tip off against the 76ers. They're playing really, really well. I've actually watched a first full couple basketball games since LeBron left. So any team that can do that for me, shout them out. That's a dude of the week for sure. Because once that dude left Cleveland, it was tough to watch those games. So Cavs, my first dude of the week. I'll do my second dude of the week. As you know, nobody had a bigger Super Bowl outside of the Kansas City Chiefs than the
Lord and Savior. I know where this is going.
Where?
Just say it. I'll tell you if I'm right or wrong.
No one had a bigger Super Bowl than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Damn, we've done this pod with you for 2.5 years. We're getting predictable now. 5 ads, I think it was. It's around 50 million, around 4 ads. Interesting. Catholic Church, man, raised Catholic. Yeah, you gotta wonder where the money goes, where it comes from. But you know, shout out to Jesus Christ, big time ad guy. Second dude of the week.
Yeah.
Awkward transition back to Dylan. If you follow that one up, go ahead.
I'm gonna keep my thoughts to myself. I was gonna do a serious one, but I don't know. You know what? Screw it. Speaking of saviors, I'll go with Tottenham savior, human son. Yeah. So from father to son, we
there you go. Hey.
Yeah, see, that's how it's done. Having the game winning assist coming back from the Asian Cup, and I think I said where you guys laughed at me, and I still think I could be potentially like 40% right, but he is going to jumpstart this Tottenham team into a very strong finish at the end of this year.
Yeah, I don't think I am laughing at that anymore. Actually, we'll probably talk about this in a little bit. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities anymore. Yeah. Who you got after, you know, that?
Sometimes I'm on the forefront of things. For as much dumb shit as I say on this podcast, I do have some logic.
He's a fast thinker, slow talker sometimes. Dylan Tucker.
It's all right. Someone's got to be ahead of their game.
Exactly.
I don't know. Who wants to be a part of this? I had a lot before I was sick when we were going to record last time, too. All right. This will be a fun one. Dude of the week, the end is Conor Gallagher, because Chelsea and him only score against Crystal Palace. So
very true.
big win for the Blues.
For sure. The first goal too he had was awesome. Great goal. Second one to win it was great too, but that first goal was awesome.
Which the best is they put a stat right after he scored the second one, it said his first brace since like 2021 against Crystal Palace.
Hey, if you know who you're good against, you just hope you get him every time you play him. Gallagher's a good shout out. I'll round us out here. I feel like you got to give it to the Ivory Coast. Winning AFCON, firing their coach, the ultimate new coach bounce for them and their hosts. So just a great AFCON for them. They weren't supposed to win it. Nigeria was heavily favorited. Last week on the pod, I actually said, I was like, I'm back in Nigeria. And I was wrong. So the best thing that you can ask for is to have me root for your team, root against your team, because then you'll probably win. So, Ivory Coast.
I'm going to be honest. I thought Nigeria won. I was like, 2-1. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, 2-1. Cote d'Ivoire. Big win. It was crazy. I know Nigeria opened the scoring, but they battled back. And it's interesting, because if you actually look at that Ivory Coast roster, they should be better than what they were said to be at the beginning of the whole tournament. And then, just ballsy move. Fire the coach, and then we'll figure it out from there. But Cote d'Ivoire, shout out to them. AFCON winners. Dudes of the week.
So something to think about when we're looking at teams in the group stage that might not be playing their best, but they're playing on home soil. If you get rid of the coach, new coach bump, just something to think about going into 2026.
I think that if every one of your games is maybe in like the West Coast, LA, Las Vegas, I think is the other one, right? Hopefully.
No, it's Seattle and LA. And
Seattle, that's what
it's,
it is. Yeah,
and that's
right.
It.
But if we go out there first game and you're maybe the United States and you're a little flat, let's maybe drop the hammer. Let's move on. I think that's a great lesson to learn, Dylan. I think that's a huge shout. All right, Dudes of the Week is done. Let's move on. We're going to talk about one game. That game is going to be Aston Villa in detail, Aston Villa Man United. I'll fly us through this. We'll give some thoughts and then jump into it. This one might actually be a quicker episode as opposed to me yapping by myself for 50 minutes. City and Everton opened up the week. Haaland got a brace, 71 and 85th minute, a 2-0 win that really actually shortchanges Everton and how they played in the first half. Fulham 3-1 over Bournemouth. Decordova Reed in the 5th. Munez in the 36th. And then Senesi trying to come back for Bournemouth 2-1. And Fulham answered right away in the 52nd. Big win for Fulham. Bournemouth was playing pretty well. Liverpool dispatched of Burnley. Bounce back game for them. Jota in the 31st, but O'Shea tied it for Burnley in the 45th. Diaz in the 52nd and Darwin Nunez in the 79th. Big 3 points for them. The shock game, probably of the week, is Sheffield United 3, Luton Town 1. Archer in the 30th, McAtee in the 36th. Luton Town get one back in the 52nd with Morris. And then D'Souza Costa in the 72nd. Big 3 points for Sheffield if they have any hope to get out of the relegation zone. Dylan and I still pretty suspect, I got a feeling. Tottenham 2-1 over Brighton. Pascal Gross opened the scoring for the Seagulls in the 17th. Saar in the 61st tied it up. And then Brennan Johnson got the winner 6 minutes in the stoppage time. Another big 3 points for Tottenham and Ange. Dylan, sad times. Brentford 2-0 over Wolves at the Molly. Norgard in the 35th. Tony in the 77th. Not the best Wolves team we've seen, but I feel like you guys are going to bounce back and still be on track. Newcastle 3-2 over Forest. You got Gamarish in the 10th. Alanga ties it up in the 26th. Shar takes the lead again for Newcastle in the 43rd. Hudson-Odoi ties it up right before half, 2-2. Gamarish with the winner in the 66th minute. Newcastle win away. And then Arsenal totally plaster West Ham 6-0. You got Saliba in the 32nd. I want to make sure I'm having these in order. Saliba in the 32nd, Saka in the 41st, Gabriel in the 44th, Trossard in the 45th, Saka again in the 63rd, and Declan Rice in the 65th. A statement win for Arsenal, possibly. And then the game we were just talking about and happened today, a 3-1 win for Chelsea over Palace. Lerma opened the scoring for Palace in the 30th. They could not hold on to the lead. Gallagher in the 47th ties it up. And then two stoppage time goals. Gallagher again in the 90+1. Fernandez in 90+4. A win away from home for Chelsea. And that is something that they have not said much of this year. Dylan, we'll start with the quick one. We'll start with my team. City keep rolling. Everton did play well, though. I will say for at least the first 45 minutes. They looked tough, very well defensively. And for Sean Dyche not to be on the sideline. I don't want to say good job, good effort and make him feel bad, but it actually was good job, good effort to Everton. So that's all I really had.
I was going to say, I feel like Everton, I think it's us and Everton or maybe your two non-big six bogey teams. I don't know if you feel that way or not. And Spurs, but I would put Spurs.
Big six.
In the big six it's
definitely Everton, Wolves, and then I know that there's a joke that I was like, Palace is our bogey team, and we haven't lost to them in a while. But, like, it is weird every time we play Palace. There's some weird goal. Townsend just with, like, the volley goal against us, like, 2 years ago. It's always weird. So those three teams I always circle, and I'm like, this could be a problem. But, you know, Everton's got to figure it out, though. This bottom of the table setup is looking a little more suspect now, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit. Fulham, 3-1 win. Big win for them. These teams are pretty equal.
Yeah, I think I overthought this one where I think we both did. I think you had a tie too, I believe, where I was very much looking at that neither team has won in 2024. So I should have just went with the home team in that case. But, like, I don't know. I wonder, I guess my question's more if Bournemouth is running out of steam or just it's a blip. Not saying Bournemouth's going down, but more like all that momentum that they had for a little bit not being fully sustained at this point.
I think it's more of a, and I think this is a real thing, not running out of steam, but they're safe. And I think when you finally actually know you're safe, it's a little bit harder to motivate people. It's a little bit harder to be like, all right, like we got to get out there against Fulham.
And there's 17 games left or 16 games left.
Dylan, these
you're saying something that we normally say when there's like six games left.
These bottom six teams are so bad. Like,
listen, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, they're at how many points are they actually at right now?
27.
They're safe, but like, if they decide to fuck around, like, they're not safe.
Yes. No, I totally agree, but I do think there is a little bit of that where they're just like, man, getting up for it is the game they should be getting up for because they can get points here. It's a fair point by you. I just feel like if Fulham away, it's hard to win away no matter who you are this year. I feel like if we would always just bet straight home teams every time, our record might be a little bit better. But you're fair point. Like, I feel like they need to probably focus a little bit more. I just feel like they're feeling like, all right, we're good. Like, we don't have to worry about getting relegated. Now it's like, what points can we get? Yeah, who knows, dude? These middling teams are tough.
But, like, you're right. It's just more, let's say they lose the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, right? Like, I don't know the schedule of who they're playing, but let's say they lose the next 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden Luton and Everton, and obviously everyone below them has to win, but, like, they're two games away from being only a point or two above relegation. So, like, I don't know.
Dylan,
I just think that it's something that they should be worried about if it's going to continue.
If they lose the next 2 weeks, I can probably guarantee you that when we introduce their game, I'll start it off with, hey, were we too early for them being safe? Like, I just know it's a possibility. Like, it's what's going to happen on this pod. Like, totally agree. Liverpool bounced back. Knew it was going to happen. Burnley with the L there. I've gotten Michael's take on this, and we've gotten your take in the past about it. Are we shocked that Vinny's still there?
Yes, but I think at this point, I think I'm going to say that they're sticking with him for the fact that, one, they probably hope that he can figure it out, but if not, they're like, you know what? He was so good in the championship.
Yeah.
Let's just run this back then, and we'll be right back up. Hopefully we can get him better players and we can sort it out from there, type of thing. Because I don't think they're worried about him leaving or anything now. So
Yeah. That was kind of my point last pod, too. I was like, maybe this is the idea. It'd be a novel idea. I don't think teams normally do this, but it'd be kind of fair. He did so well last season that maybe that's what they're holding on to. Luton, they lose to Sheffield at Kenilworth. This was the most shocking result of the week, I thought, because Sheffield, in my mind, is totally dead in the water. You got Sheffield at 13, Burnley at 13. Everton on 19, Luton on 20, Nottingham Forest on 21. Give me your crystal ball. How do you feel? What's your gut tell you this is going to end up at the end of this year now?
In no particular order, Sheffield United, Burnley. It's tough because I don't know. I'm going to go with the assumption that Everton gets some points back from their appeal. And then...
Are you going to assume that Forest lose some, though, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of want to go back to my normal thing and say Crystal Palace. I really want to.
Crystal Palace on 24. Not far enough out to be safe, but...
I think... I want Luton to be safe, so I'm going to say Nottingham Forest. However, I caveat that by being forward-thinking to next year, and I think Forest is going to get deducted more points because they spent so much money on their new team that they're still going to be screwed. So if they somehow survive, it's probably better for the Wolves' survival in a future year.
Good call.
So that's my caveat of Luton going down.
again, forward-thinking. I'm worried about Luton. I think the big winner in the Sheffield United-Luton game was Forest. I'm worried about Forest for sure. Hopefully Gio Reyna can resurrect that career and figure it out.
I'll say I'm curious because, like, that's probably why I didn't want to say Forest. But again, he can leave. There's no option to buy. So at that point, it is what it is. And maybe he ends up helping them out. But, like, Forest just gives up way too many goals. And, like, they score, but they only score at home. And then – so that's why it's probably going to end up being them. But I'm more, to your point, shocked that, like, I thought with Luton Town being one point above relegation and being at home against Sheffield United, they were going to dominate that game of the fact that, like, we can just give ourselves even more air to breathe.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, they just fucked it up, which is why, like, I know we're going to talk about United in a second, too. Is, like, United should go in there this week and beat them. But, like, this to me just screams all of a sudden, watch Jekyll and Hyde, they'll beat United and be in the same spot.
Big trap game. What's your, before we move on, and we've spent the most time on this relegation battle, which actually is a nice thing. No thoughts on Nuno? You don't want Nuno to go down? Ill will at all?
No, I would like him to stay up, but like, I don't know. I'm appreciative of everything he did with the Wolves, to be honest. Like, I'd like him to be successful, but like, I don't know. Maybe this is cold blooded. Like, I'm indifferent at this point.
That's fine.
Like, I'm not rooting for them to go down because it's Nuno. It's more, I just don't think that they're good enough. I didn't think they were last year, and I was shocked they stayed up last year. And
yeah,
I think if the three teams that we keep thinking are going to go down weren't here, they'd be going down in a heartbeat.
I totally agree. Tottenham win over Brighton. Brighton's, speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, Brighton and Hove Albion, shout out to them. Pitch me. I want to think about putting Tottenham fourth. I want to think about putting them in the Champions League. What's your main points of your pitch for this?
Well, they're already in it to start.
They don't have to go anywhere. Yeah, good point.
They're competing against two teams for that spot. And I'm being generous saying two teams, but they're competing against two teams for that spot that can be just as good as them, but are way more inconsistent. Where the Spurs have been the most, I think, consistent team in the league, in my opinion. You know what you're getting.
With dealing with injuries, too, which has been impressive.
Correct. And you know what you're getting with them. They've gotten through this injury spell, still in fourth. They're now coming back to being fully healthy. I think they made some. They're the only team that actually made like actual signings in January that I think can help them out to an extent. Like, I know we make jokes about Timo and they're warranted, but like now he can come off the bench and be at least some fresh legs for you. Like, I said it a few weeks ago. Like, I think that it wouldn't. I don't know if it's necessarily going to happen or not, but like it wouldn't shock me if they go on a run while Arsenal and Liverpool somehow get nervous because of what's going on with the title race against City, and that creeps them into that conversation for a second or a third position. But I think they're more consistent is why I would say I'd choose them over Villa or United.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around to this argument too. I will say I know that Arsenal just won 6-0 and just beat Liverpool before that. And you should be buying Arsenal now more than ever, I feel like, I guess. There's still
such
a part
of me.
But there's still a part of me that I think Tottenham could get third and Arsenal can end up in fourth. Like, I just, only 5 points off, like you said, had more injuries, I feel like, than any of the other teams here in the top five, top six. Now, mind you, City had Haaland and De Bruyne and Rodri out at some point, but that's neither here nor there. I feel like you're hitting on something that needs to be explored a little bit more. This team, if they can get back to being very, very consistent, they're going to be pretty dangerous down the stretch. So keep your eyes out for the Spurs. I got to pass it to you again, dude. What happened? Wolves. Also, real quick, I've been doing this without your permission, and I don't know if it's an actual thing. Are we pro the Molly or no?
Like calling it the Molly?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone calls it that, but sure, you can make fetch happen.
All right, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to ask you.
I will get an official response for you in about 3.5 weeks, and we can see how it's taken actually at the Molly.
Go straight from the source. Get me in contact with Regina George of Wolves, and let's see if we can make the Molly happen. I like it.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but I will bring that up, and I will literally like spit out my beer if I walk into the first bar. In Wolverhampton, and someone's like, "Oh yeah, we're heading to the Molly in about a couple minutes."
Welcome to the Molly. Yeah, I love this.
Sorry. No, I think it's tough to beat a team three times out of four. To be honest, I think it's evident that Cunha is a very big part of our team, which I don't think will shock anyone. So him going down 19 minutes in definitely doesn't help when we shipped our two other strikers off and didn't bring one in. I think Nathan Frazier is going to hopefully be good, but he's also 19 years old and hasn't played really in the Premier League much. So I think it was a tall task there. Also, not shocking at all that you've heard me say this before, when we are better than teams, they sit back and park the bus a little bit, and we don't know how to break down a defense very well. We're much better on the counter. I think there's a lot of teams in our position in the Premier League that are in a similar boat. So the fact that we technically scored, and it was basically a fingernail reason why we didn't count it, is, I guess, some type of progress. But ultimately, as of right now, I'm not upset about it. It doesn't shock me. I honestly had in my predictions Brentford to win, and then I was like, wait, we're at home. We at least will hopefully tie. So, like, the goal was bad off of the first goal was bad. So, like, it's things we can fix, in my opinion, and depending on how things go over the next few weeks, like, I think I'm hoping it was just a blip. But at this point, three more wins and we're safe. So yeah. Then I will be better. But I think this was the win that if it happened, I'd still be dreaming about maybe potentially getting a seventh spot, where now it's like, all right, we'll finish 13th to maybe 10th.
Yeah. I mean, I think nine. Nine's a good goal. That'd be nice. Tough. But top 10, that'd be nice. The other thing too, to your point, and I haven't seen an update on him, so I don't know how long he's going to be out, but Cunha, most goals he scored in a season in his career this year. He has 9 in the league, but 2 in other competitions, so 11 for this season. So, honestly, beginning of the year when I saw him play, I was like, oh, this guy stinks. Like, and then he made me eat my words, but he's fun to watch. I like him. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'd rather have him than Nunez, but that's a whole nother story.
We appreciate your money getting us out of FFP, so thank you.
No problem. Forest, Newcastle, you know, again, I think Forest is pretty damn bad, and Newcastle's going to be in the conversation anywhere from, honestly, 10 to 6. And these are the dog days of the season where it's like, yeah, this game happened, but do I have anything insightful to say about it? I don't really think so. What about you?
No. They pulled it out. They're supposed to win. Like, I think, was it Forest goals were both off deflections? I mean, I can't talk. We had those against Chelsea, too. So, I mean, they go in. Who gives a shit? But, Newcastle should have won. It'd be a different story if they actually screwed this game up, but the fact that they handled business away.
Yeah. We got what? You said earlier, 14 games left or so?
38? They played 24, so 14. Yeah.
14 left. Goals and assists for Gio. You want to get a prediction out there?
Well, I guess the first question is, because he's coming off the bench, do you think he eventually actually starts?
On that team, I would hope so.
Honestly. I would hope so, but like, yeah.
I don't know if he doesn't
start the next game, I don't know, because it's not like we're waiting for him to get acclimated.
That's a good question, and I think that's not to sound like the announcer at the Super Bowl, but that's a tough answer. Like, I don't really want to answer that because I don't want it to be true, to be honest with you. But I think he needs to cement himself in there for sure.
Then let's assume he's starting and he gets 14 games, I will say 6 goals and assists.
So, like 3-3, 4-2.
Yeah, or 4-2, whatever. Number will be 6.
I think that's a good shout. I think anything, well, honestly, to that point, anything less than like 3-3 is good. Like, if you're creating 6 goals for Forest, too, like, I think that's a good setup. For some reason in my mind, I wanted it to be 4-4, but the more that you spoke, the more I was like, damn, that's a lot. Like, that's 8 goal contributions. Like, let's get 6. I like 6. 5 or 6, I think I'm comfortable with. And then you're building off of something going into this summer's going to be fantastic or terrible for the U.S. men's national team. Like, we don't know yet, dude. It's going to be bad. So, we're pulling for Gio for sure. And then today's game. 3-1, Chelsea over Palace. All I'll say is I had this as a draw, and I thought I was going to get away with it. I was sitting there in the 90th minute watching it, and I was like, yes, dude, I'm going to get one on everyone. I'm going to get one on everyone else. And Connor Gallagher made me eat my words, and then Enzo just salt in the wound at the end. So I think Palace stinks, and I think Chelsea is just a little bit better, but they stink too still.
Did you see that at halftime Chelsea had 80%, I think, possession and just one shot? Not even on target, just one shot.
They were kind of playing a lot like Man City. Man City, not a lot of shots on target lately, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you take like 30 shots a game.
Very true. Very true.
Throwing that one out there at least.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, I don't think this game told me much other than exactly what I think of both teams. And if anything, the 3-1 score line's even not accurate based off of the last goal coming with like 10 seconds left when Palace wasn't even like chasing really towards the end.
Look, I'll say this about this game. The job market's pretty shitty right now. Like you like your job, you're there, whatever. Someone who's like, you know, dabbling a little bit here. It's pretty shitty right now. I think that's what's happening at Palace too. They can't get anyone that'll take Hodgson's post for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Look, 14 games left. I live in Carroll Gardens. I can get on the first flight out to London. You don't have to pay me as much as you're paying him. I'll take a quarter of his salary. Let me just lead the boys. Let me get out there. I'm looking for a new gig. Let's do it. Come on. Let's figure this out. It'll be interesting to see who takes that post though in the off season. So keep my eyes on that. But
this you don't is think just... they get rid of you don't think they get rid of Roy if because like at this point they're what 24 points.
Mm-hmm.
They lose next week and force Luton and Everton all gain points to where they're actually only like 2 points out. You think they still let it ride?
I think that they're trying to get someone. I think it's like damaged goods. I think you're damned if you do, if you take this post. Like,
I guess that's fair.
If you go down, it's a pretty big dark mark on your CV. If you keep them up, I think they're still wanting to find someone else. Like, they're still wanting to find a name. So I just think that's been the issue with them recently.
That's fair. Oh, but then back to our other conversation, Palace actually might be fucked.
I can see them slipping, man. I think it's tough. Them and Forest has been, again, beginning of this year, I'm like, yeah, they'll be fine because these three teams are so bad. And slowly but surely, they've been getting clawed back into it. It's like the mafia.
Yep.
But yeah, dog days. I think a lot of these games are dog day games, and it's just like it confirms what we think about each of these teams or what we don't know. So, United, the big game, the one that we'll talk about for a little bit longer. United beat Villa 2-1. Hoyland in the 17th, Douglas Luiz in the 67th with the most disrespectful goal celebration I have ever seen in my entire life. And then McTominay in the 86th, winner chicken dinner for United. I have to imagine Nick was a happy camper with this one. This is actually a pretty decent win for them at Villa Park against a Villa team who we all think is good, inconsistent, yes, at times, but good. But I will say this before I hand the mic over to you. I think this is a lot of not great teams having a good game against each other. And one of them won. That's how I feel about it. Neither one of these teams are great. Both these teams are pretty good. That's it.
They're reeling me back in. I think you're wrong. Only reason why is they actually have a winning streak. I will consider three games in a row a winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going, when I say old United, I don't mean like, I don't know. And there's got to be a better way of me phrasing this, but ultimately, like, earlier in the year, United is losing this game because they obviously already did at home. But
so
like,
you're saying they're growing, essentially.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, they're growing, and I think it's been more of Ten Hag, I think, is finally playing more of the younger players that, and I know I think Nick has been screaming this, but like they are playing and actually want to win and try and do well. And then you just have McTominay, who's just a psychopath who runs after everything. So, like, you pair that with all the youngins that they now have up front, outside of, like, I don't know, Rashford still kind of looks like shit, in my opinion. But I think pairing that and getting more of that effort is finally coming to fruition for this group. And I think Hoyland and Garnacho, like, figuring it out together, which Garnacho also, and again, I know Nick has said this before, like, he literally dribbles with it. He reminds me, and this is me going to my Wolves bias, but, like, he reminds me of Neto from, like, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago before his, like, injury. Of Neto is doing what he does now, and Garnacho's doing that, but his head's down the entire time, and it's just to be able to get a shot off. To where this year Neto has started to actually have his head up, and look, he's got like 10 assists. I think it's 8 or 9 at this point. Yeah. But like, so yeah, I think they're growing in that sense. And also, bring it back to the Chelsea game. When I was watching that today too, Chelsea has all of these youngsters in a sense too. When Gallagher, or no, was it the third goal when Enzo scored? I forget who it was, but someone else on the field was looking for it. I don't think it was Nicholas Jackson. I don't know. It was someone who basically wanted the ball when he was open on the right side too. Enzo scored, and I just saw him put his hands up and be like that, instead of being like, we haven't won a game in forever. Where I think the difference is, United, we've seen Bruno and other people have that type of body language. These past couple games, I haven't seen that. And I think they're finally either, it's tough to say when we thought they're bought in last year, they're either finally bought in right now with a different crew, or the message just finally went through, or whatever it is. But like, I'm saying all of this to probably lay an egg in Luton, but like, if they don't and win that too, then like, I actually generally believe they're moving in the right direction.
So I think you brought up some interesting points. The one that I'll jump off first is, I'd be willing to bet that these guys, and you're right, Garnacho, Hoyland, Bruno, and even Rashford, like, it seems like, as a body language doctor self-proclaimed, it seems like they are getting along a little bit better. Bad body language, Kansas City Chiefs last night, they looked like they hated each other the entire time. But these guys, good body language recently. So, like, I think they are gelling. I think they are coming together. It wouldn't shock me if it was in spite of Ten Hag. One, I would love to get Nick's thoughts on that, just because.
But if it works, it works.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, no doubt, no doubt. The other thing I'll say is, Michael and I had this conversation 2 pods ago, and I kind of went into it last pod, but, like, if you look at this starting lineup, it's like a tale of 2 fives. Like, Hoyland, Rashford, Fernandes, Garnacho, Maynou. I'm cool with that. Like, that's the team. If that's who I have and I have to build the next 5, great. Because Casemiro, Shaw, Varane, Maguire, and Dalot, it's that back four. That back four is just so suspect for them. And I feel like, I know we've talked about this ad nausea for the entire season, winning this game's big for that back four, especially because if you're on FOTMOB, they all basically got over 8s or over 7 fives, except for Shaw, whatever. Onana played an incredible game. I think he was just tired of getting made fun of for the past week and a half or so. But, like, if they put a decent center back, and then maybe a decent center back pairing, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, this becomes a better team. The problem with that, and why I feel like Michael and I always talk about, like, all right, they're still like 5 years away from this, is like, it took Liverpool and City multiple years to figure out the defense for them and then be good. They're not going to be able to do this in one transfer window, especially with, like, I feel like how strict FFP is going to get now moving forward. If all these points are getting taken, like, the days of them buying 2 center backs and maybe a left or a right back to totally rehaul it, I just don't think that's going to happen. But I am impressed with the 5 that I mentioned before. I think that's where you got to start. At the very least, that's the silver lining in all this.
I think that's fair. I just think that you have, I don't know. I guess it's more, I'm not saying they're going to win the league.
Yeah.
Type of thing. It's just more, they were like, again, we keep comparing them to Chelsea at this point. Again, and that's where it's like, they're coming together, where Chelsea still looks like anyone in the league can go in and beat Chelsea. Where, as opposed to now, like, again, we'll find out if this is true or not after this weekend, but like, a bottom team shouldn't beat United at this point.
I, I think Michael said this, so I want to give him credit, but like there's 7 points in between United and Chelsea right now, but that's a big fucking 7 points. Yeah. That's not an easy 7 points for Chelsea to make up. It sounds like it's closer than it actually is. I'm shocked that I looked down at the table a couple days ago and I was like, oh, damn, United's in sixth. And they are 5 points off of Villa, which those 5 points seem a little bit shorter than the seven that Chelsea have to go. I think if they want to threaten to try to get top four, that's they're going to top out maybe fifth. But the team is coming together. Like, despite us making fun of it and trying to get on Nick's nerves and, like, you know, whatever, there are portions of this team where there is actual quality. I just feel like, obviously, they bought bad. Johnny Evans, Amrabat, both of those guys kind of have not, and you weren't expecting it for Johnny Evans. He's 45. But, like, Amrabat, I thought that was going to be a Band-Aid and figure it out. I don't know what you do with Antony. Christian Eriksen's, like, old as hell. Like, it's a good thing they're playing the young guys, like you said, because I think that's going to propel them to hopefully be fifth, maybe threaten four.
Yeah. I think I'll close my thoughts on this without repeating it, is if at this point, I think the only way, not the only way, but like what keeps Ten Hag around is them pushing for the Champions League spot. And if they somehow either get it, which I don't think they will based off of what we were talking about with Spurs, but they either get it or they come up just short in the fifth, but they progress the right way to get there while developing these young kids, I think he stays. If they don't even come close to sniffing it and there's still progress, I think it's 50-50. But then if we see a regression that I haven't decided yet what I'm doing for predictions, to be completely honest, then he's donezo and they start from scratch all over again, which is the most United thing ever.
Yeah, and that's going to be...
We'll give Nick his own solo pod.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be an obnoxious Nick to the point of, like, I might not send the invite over to him about it. But, I think that's totally fair. We'll see. Big game. They have Luton, like you mentioned, at Luton. That's going to be a trap. I feel like I was just looking at this. I know they have, like, Fulham coming up. I think they might have Forest in either a cup or the league. But they got the Manchester Derby's March 4th or 3rd, somewhere around there, and that's going to be a big game for them. See how they perform there and see if they can figure it out. Predictions. Dylan, decent week, actually, for everyone but me, which is pretty typical right now. I went 5-5. You, Michael, and Nick all went 7-3. Michael still in the lead, 135 and 103. Nick in second now, 126, 112. Dylan, 117 and 121. We're getting there to 500, and I am 123 and 115. Before we jump into it, were you at all shocked? And I haven't updated it yet, but you're leading the... You're tied with Michael, but you are leading the table prediction.
I'm going to say I'm not shocked, only because every time we do this, the only thing I ever win is getting... I can predict the table very well. I just normally, because I like to have some fun, mess up all of my my picks during the year.
Dylan locks it in on the table somehow, just like laser focused. We'll have to see how the movement impacted that today. But last week when I was putting it together, you and Michael tied for the top. Let's get into our predictions. First game of the week, Brentford is going to host Liverpool. I got Liverpool. Who you got?
I have Liverpool as well.
Yeah. Burnley hosting Arsenal. I got Arsenal. Yeah. Figured. Fulham hosting Aston Villa.
I don't know yet. I want to hear who you say.
So I'm going to say Villa. And I know that Fulham just won on the road, but as inconsistent as we were maybe just talking about Villa is, their quality is above Fulham, even at the Cottage, I think. So I'm going to go with them. I'm going to trust Unai.
Do you know what the reverse fixture was of this by any chance? Ooh. I'm doing that research now, but
great question.
I'm curious.
We can find out quick.
This is me 3-1. Filibustering only for the fact that I'm so close to getting back to 500, and last time I was, I Man United myself and had a shitty performance after a good one.
So it was 3-1, Villa won, and I will say this, Villa swept the series last year too.
Cool. Give me Villa. Trends are trends.
Trends are trends. Can't argue them. Newcastle hosting Bournemouth. Newcastle's still thin, and Newcastle battered and tired, but I still think Newcastle better than Bournemouth. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think, especially this being at home, and I've chosen only away teams, I will be taking a home team because this is how I fill tests out.
Yep. A game that I wish I could erase from here because there's no shot I'm going to get it right. Forest hosting West Ham. Forest stink. West Ham's so inconsistent, but you got to go West Ham because they're a better team. It's away from home, though. I don't know, man. I'm going West Ham.
So I want to pick West Ham, but every time I watch West Ham, they're just sitting there waiting to go in the counter. It's
terrible.
And when they play these worst teams by sitting back doing that, like, it's the opposite Wolves problem. They sit back, and you're allowing these teams that shouldn't have possession, which then leads to them getting a goal that they shouldn't get, and then they sit back and West Ham can't score. Like, it's – I don't know. I'm going to go with a tie.
Again, any result, I'm not shocked by. Not shocked at all.
I think four scores at home, so they're at least getting one, and then I'm going to assume West Ham. West Ham's going to win 4-1 or something like that, but, like, I'm taking a tie.
Draw and first goal involvement for Gio for Dylan. All right, Tottenham, Wolves. I actually think looking at this, man, this would be game of the week. This is game of the week type territory. It's at Tottenham, which is a tough place to play, let me tell you, as a City fan. What are your thoughts here?
We're going to lose. I don't know what the Cunha thing is, but Huang's back, which is great. Yeah. I'm just telling myself we're going to lose, and then we'll take a point if it happens.
Yeah, I got Tottenham as well. It'll be nice if Huang can get on. It'd be nice to get him like some run as like a warm-up game where it's like, all right, we don't probably shouldn't win this one. If we get a point, like you just said, great, get your legs under you, and we're hitting the back half of the season tough with him and Cunha and the boys. Cool. City hosting Chelsea. I got City. This is one of those games. Yeah,
go ahead. I have City too.
It's only scary because I talk so much shit about Chelsea where if it's not a win, it just sucks. That's all it is.
That's fair. But like, if the Chelsea team that was on today and played the Wolves the week before is playing you, you are going to destroy them.
We should be fine. I should feel okay about it. The Juggernauts, Sheffield United, hosting Brighton. This could end up being 6-6 based on how both these teams have been playing lately. I'm going to keep with Brighton, though. I still think Sheffield's dead, albeit the blip of this past week.
Yeah, I think it was an anomaly, so I will be taking Brighton too.
Yeah. Luton, Man United, we've talked about this a bit. What's your final say in it?
What I truly think, or what should happen, is United should easily handle their business.
Mm-hmm.
But Luton just plays these big teams at home very well, and maybe it's just the difference of Sheffield United. It's like, we've played here in the championship all the time, like, who gives a shit? So like,
that's a good point. That's actually really I didn't even enter my brain.
I'm gonna take Luton. This is how I don't get to 500, but I'm gonna fucking do it.
You said that and I was just picturing Adam Sandler's face on Uncut Gems at the end. You're just like, oh man, this is how I win, and then next thing you know,
I'm gonna be with Nick watching this game too, because we're going to the Rangers outdoor game that day. So this will be our pregame leading into it. So like, to be honest, I want United to win so he's in a good mood for the Rangers game, but it'd be fun if I got my prediction right.
You're not losing either way. If United win, Nick's in a good mood. If Luton win, one step closer to 500, and that's really important for this podcast.
I do have a question. If I have a material change where it's in my best interest to change this pick before they get officially released, is that allowed? Or is this locked in with me saying this on the podcast?
If Nick shows up to you to watch the Rangers game with like a knife and some, you know, things to harm you, I will definitely allow you to be able to say like, all right, I picked United. We can do
if,
that.
For sure. I want to do this. If he shows up with the candle, I will switch. I'm switching my pick to United.
That's like a desperate times measure right there. He's traveling. He's traveling the candle out. Yeah. I'm with you. Keep us posted. You can have one switch based on candle presence. And I think we'll allow that. I got United. I do think, good point though that you brought up. Like, I feel like Sheffield probably went into Kenilworth and was like, "What the fuck? Who's intimidated by this shit?" But that back line of United that we were just talking about playing in that stadium is a little suspect, I will say. But I'm gonna stick with the Red Devils. And then last game of the week, again, it's actually a big game. Everton hosting Palace, but it is one of those things where it's like, I don't know what the hell is gonna happen here. I'll pick Everton just because I feel like they've been playing better than Palace for sure. And if they win this one, they're out of the relegation zone again. So I'll pull for Everton.
Yeah, I like to see my friends happy, so I will be taking Everton too. Even though Everton burns me every time that I decide that they're going to play well. So we'll see.
Agreed. All right, that's predictions. Dylan, any bets and a joke to get us out of here?
I don't have any bets this week, to be completely honest. I didn't have time for proper research. So just a joke and probably a podlay with the boys later on where everyone can actually get something right this time.
That was bad. I will say this. I said over 2.5 goals for City, the last touch of the ball with De Bruyne when you texted in that group. I was glad that you at least remembered, like, hey, this was John's bet, and he totally fucked it up right here, and De Bruyne fucked it up for us.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough scene. But I do, let's get getting the pod laid back would be key.
I did do a 10-game parlay right after that to be like, let's get some money for the Super Bowl. And you know, like, DraftKings has, like, the... If you do 10 games, they give you, like, 100% boost or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, $10... to win like 500, essentially. 9 for 10. Because, you know, that's how we do it. Chef's kiss.
Oh, my God. What was the one that got you?
I had over 1.5 goals in Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. I thought, especially when Sevilla scored 15 minutes in, I was like, well, Atletico will at least score one. We should be good.
Yeah.
Nope.
Damn. I hate that. And that was one of my teams.
And that was with, I thought it was dead. When there was a -650 I threw in there for over 1.5 goals in the Hoffenheim Cologne game that was 0-0 going into the 84th minute and it's ended up 1-1. So I was like, it's on my side. We're going the right way. And then it was just, nope, the one game that I thought wasn't a problem.
Kids, please bet responsibly. That's our only message here. Yeah. Bet within your means. Great, great call. All right, get us out of here with the joke.
All right. What tea do footballers drink? Penalty. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.